going to present the results on my recent work on the phylogenetic analysis of the rogue beetle subfamily Euastatini based on adult morphology. To introduce the subfamily, Euastatini comprises a morphologically heterogeneous and highly enigmatic group from a phylogenetic point of view. There's lots of morphological groups contained within the subfamily, and these do not conform well to the current existing tribal classification system, which is based on tarsal formula and abdominal margination. Euastetines occur pretty much worldwide, mostly in forest habitats, but in places like New Zealand they can get up into the high alpine zone. They have a historical antiquity to them, with the earliest known fossil, Libano Euastetus, known from mid-Cretaceous amber. And I've just, in the top three panels there, I've given the most speciose genera there, with an indication of the number of species. And there's around, by the end of next year, certainly there'll be around 500 described species in around 29 genera. Euastetini have traditionally been associated with the subfamily Steninae, which are perhaps, well, definitely better known than Euastetines in general, probably because of the highly unusual modifications of the labium, which we have a protrusible premantum with apical modifications specialised to prey on soil-dwelling arthropods like calambolins and mites and so on. Two described genera, mega diverse. It may be a new genus known from Australia. However, this thing looks very, very Euastetine-like, with the exception of this also possessing this rather unusual premantum. But one described genus of Euastetini, Tyrannomastax, has been considered by a couple of authors to have possibly homologous modifications to the mouthparts. So already we can see that there is a context for the question of whether this family is monophyletic or not. So some of the earliest work in elucidating the phylogenetic relationships of the staphylinid subfamilies was by Naomi. And with respect to Euastetini, he proposed 20 synapomorphies uniting a clade consisting of Euastetini plus Leptotiphlini plus Salophlini. However, Newton and Thayer refuted most of those and recognized only three of the proposed synapomorphies as valid where placed, and later on in 1995 actually transferred Salophlini to the Amalione group of staphylinid subfamilies. The most recent paper to have examined the question of Euastetini monophyly was Leshen and Newton in describing the larva of Megalopinus, in which they used a combined adult and larval study to examine the relationships of genera within the Stenine group of staphylinid subfamilies. And in that study, they were able to show strong support for the monophyly of Stenine plus Euastetini, but only weak support for the monophyly of Euastetini. Most recently, I've been collaborating with Vasily Grabennikov, in which we extended the study of Leshen and Newton and derived a more extensive character sample from 10 Euastetine genera, including larval data and adult data. We also described the larvae for 11 genera in this paper. And in that study, we were able to also show strong support for Euastetini plus Steninae, also strong support for the monophyly of Steninae and monophyly of Euastetini. However, the major shortcomings of all of the previous work has been the very limited taxon sample. As I mentioned, Euastetini is a morphologically heterogeneous group, so it may be that the genera that have been available to sample will form their own monophyletic group, and what is really needed is a broader sampling of the genera. So this was the goal of this study. I was able to survey as many genera as I could within the subfamily to further test the monophyly of these three nodes of interest, and to see whether adult data could be of any use for revising the suprageneric classification within the subfamily. And also, there's a particular interest to determine whether this new genus from Steninae is placed in Steninae or Euastetini. So this basically gives an overview of the classification of the group. Was erected by this very serious looking guy, Otto Scherpelz. And this basically shows that I've been able to sample all genera except for this one thing, Macroturalis, here. And this also gives an indication of the species richness within certain genera, and the numbers in brackets indicate the change in total since Herman's 2001 staphylinid catalogue. So methods of specimen examination, this is pretty much standard stuff. I use compound and dissecting microscopes, pinned alcohol and slide examination, slide specimens to examine the characters. But I also use extensively SEM analysis, and really what I wanted to point out in this slide is not so much that I do what everyone does, but to illustrate that there's a large potential for reciprocal illumination and cross-validation when these two techniques are used in combination. So using these techniques, I was able to develop a character matrix of 122 characters. And this, the top panel gives a breakdown of the number of characters that I sampled from inside the body, external characters, and the distribution of those characters across the different regions of the body. 274 states, most of the characters were binary. These data were analyzed in PALP, with the in-group being all Ursatini and Steniini, and out-group selected from Megalopsidiini, Pseudopsidiini, Oxyporiini, and Pleistini. Pleistini is a further outgroup outside of the Staphylina group of subfamilies. Heuristic searching, all characters were treated as unordered and equally weighted. Clade support was estimated using bootstrap analysis and Bremer support, and character evolution was examined in the clade. So the results of this work, fairly novel from the standpoint of the generic coverage of the subfamily. The three major points of this slide are that, again, Ursatini plus Steniini are recovered as strongly monophyletic. Steniini is strongly supported as monophyletic, and Ursatini is also strongly supported as monophyletic, each of the two subfamilies with 10 synapomorphies. This is a strict consensus tree of three most parsimonious trees. The three only differed in the placement of one clade. So, having established statistical support for the monophyly of Ursatini, the main results of this study is highlighting the new morphological synapomorphies for the subfamily. And here I've got a sample of nine of the 10 synapomorphies. The one highlighted in red, the serrate labrum, is in fact possibly unique within the Staphylinae group of subfamilies here. So we can see that some of the synapomorphies, as might be expected, are changed outside and within the subfamily, but two are uniquely optimized as placed. With respect to the mesendosternites down the bottom there with a CI of 0.67, it's worth noting that is a multi-state character in the states of changing within the alt groups. So having established the monophyly of Ursatini, we can start to look at some of the phylogenetic relationships within the subfamily. Some earlier work actually recovered a group that was supported by this rather bizarre character here, these digitiform processes on the labium. But when I did this analysis, I still had a lot of missing data in the data matrix. And so since then, I was able to fill those cells, and now it seems that this is a synapomorphy, potential synapomorphy for a larger clade, but with, as we can see with the yellow bars, several reversals and another regain. So basically three major clades were strongly supported clades were recovered within the subfamily. This group of rather morphologically homogeneous genera is supported by four uniquely optimized synapomorphies. One that is apparently unique is the elytral humeral tooth over on the top right there. Another group of morphologically homogeneous genera consists of this clade here, which is supported by this unusual synapomorphy of highly modified protarsal setae in the males. And finally, I should have pointed out earlier that the taxa were color-coded, the names of the taxa were color-coded by their tribal affiliation. And in fact, none of the tribes were recovered as monophyletic except for possibly this one, tribe Steniini, which is supported by this carina separating the lateral and dorsal parts of the head. And within that, we have a subclade which is supported by a number of synapomorphies, including this excavate groove on the mesococci. So, to conclude this study, the major results are that a comprehensive both character and taxon sample has resulted in strong support for the monophyly of Ursatini, which is previously proved enigmatic. the new US T-tine orking Australian genus is placed within Stenini with strong support, and it's probably the sister group to Stenus. But it would seem that the adult characters are insufficient for providing a new basis for a new classification for the genera. And with that, a lot of people contributed to the study, so thanks a lot. Thanks for your time.